From the land of Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 21st day of July, 2021. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Jackie Fegg. She's at Total Farm Marketing out of Hollister, Missouri. And we'll get an update of the weather forecast across the United States, in particular the Corn Belt. Then with Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. We'll talk to him a little bit about the floods in China as well. And the impact rainfall has had there on crops. Also, what maybe the lack of rainfall is doing here in the United States, all on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. Hey, just a quick heads up that tomorrow afternoon, Kurt Kimmel, Wayne Nelson, and Dan Zwicker, yes, he's in from Texas, and I will be at Riggs Beer Company, and you can join us if you'd like, just to talk about the marketplace. That's tomorrow afternoon after, say, the 4 o'clock hour. Riggs has some great locally brewed beers, and they'll have a food truck tomorrow evening. You can join us on the east side of Urbana. That's along Route 130, not very far, actually right across from the Case IH dealer there. So come join us at Riggs Beer Company if you'd like, and you can talk with Dan and Kurt and Wayne.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
September corn for the day at $5.71¾, a half lower. December up 2¾. It finished at $5.68½ in the March. $5.75½ up 2½ cents. August beans 4¼ lower at $14.39¼. September down 1¼ at $13.97¾. And November at $13.89¾, up 1¼ cents. Bean meal $4.30 higher. The bean oil for the day at $1.56 lower. Wheat futures soft red in the December up 11 at $7.19¾, and the hard red December at $6.79¾, 8½ cents higher on the day. Live cattle futures at $125.25, up 55 cents in the October. August feeders at $156.77½, $1.25 higher, and October lean hogs at $92.40, $1.37½ cents higher on the afternoon. Crude oil, $70.31 a barrel, up $3.12. Diesel fuel or heating oil, 7 2/10 higher at $2.08 6/10 of a cent. The wholesale price of gasoline at $2.19 2/10, about 1/8 higher for the day. Jackie Vakes of Total Farm Marketing out of Hollister, Missouri now joins us to discuss what's been happening in Chicago. Good afternoon to you, Jackie. Thanks for taking the time today. Let's get started right away. A lot of ground to cover. I think we should do the support and resistance first, please.
We'll start with September corn, 543 support, 601 resistance. December, 561, 595. For resistance, March, 566 with 574 for resistance. We've got beans in August, 1328 and 1403. September, 1292, 1409. November, 1322 and 1466. Gold for August, 1674 and 1823. That's a drop from where it had been. Dow Jones still remains between 31661 and 35091. U.S. dollar, 91.73, a little bit higher support level than we've had in the past. 93.87 for a high. Bitcoin 27.451 to 34.720. And I'll jump right into the funds, Todd. You know, when you look at this roller coaster that we're on, and just to give people an idea of why, I know a lot of people say, well, why are margins what they are? Why is it this way? Well, you know, I could very often look at volatility, let's say on a corn contract, 22-23% in the nearby. We're talking 48-49% in the nearby right now. And so that just goes to give you a kind of a visual picture of why it's as crazy as it is. Now, when we look at the funds, yesterday we saw them add 10,000 corn, 9,000 beans, 2,000 wheat, 2,000 meal, and 2,500 oil. The day before, they dropped 11,500 beans. So, you know, it's just all over the place is what it is. So I guess put on your seatbelt and be prepared.
Tell me about some of the other things you're watching.
Well, export inspections. We have wheat exports running 26 behind a year ago, 26%. It was only 15% last week. We need to average 16 million bushels a week to get to the projections. Corn, 69% ahead of a year ago, was 68 last week. And there we need 52.5 million bushels to get to the expectation. Beans, 54% ahead of a year ago. It was 52 last week. And we need 6 million bushels a week to get to the projections. You know, when you look at the market, Todd, I mean, let's face it, it's weather, 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 funds, 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 just like last week. And the big question I'm sure on everybody's mind right now is, will this ridge remain or won't it remain? And, you know, we know that in the past when we've had ridges that started at this time of year, a lot of times the only thing that'll take them out is some type of tropical storm. And we're not really looking at that at the moment. So it doesn't bode well for all the pollination that's going on. Dr. Cordonier gave me an interesting thing. This is the 2021 U.S. state rankings, and we talk about weeks in the top five and weeks in the bottom five. So for corn, Nebraska and Tennessee have been in the top five for 7 weeks. Colorado, 6. Kentucky, 5. Texas, 4. Wisconsin, 3. Pennsylvania, 3. North Carolina, 1. And Ohio, 1. Notice that there's some people missing in there, some pretty big states missing in there. Weeks in the bottom five, North Dakota and South Dakota, 7 weeks, Missouri, 6, Minnesota, 6, Michigan, 3, Iowa, 3, Indiana, 1, Illinois, 1, and Texas, 1. And when it comes to soybeans, top five, Nebraska and Kentucky and Tennessee, all for 7 weeks, Mississippi, 5, Indiana, 4, Ohio, 3, Louisiana, 3, and Wisconsin, 1. Bottom five was North and South Dakota for 7 weeks, Missouri, 6, Minnesota, 5, Kansas, 4, Michigan, 3, Iowa, 2, Mississippi, 2, and Illinois, 2. So, you know, a lot of people tend to focus an awful lot on corn, which, of course, is our biggest crop. But I'll tell you, beans are really, really having a tough, tough time. And then that leads us right into the trend line yield comparisons. You know, if you look at corn, 18.5% of the acres are below trend line. 36.6 are at trend line, and we've got 35.9 above trend line. And the ones at trend line right now are Illinois, Iowa, Missouri, Wisconsin, and Texas. So they're just on the tipping point, basically, is where they are. On beans, 23.4 are below trend line, 37.1 at trend line, and 35.2 above. And there, too, Illinois, Iowa, Michigan, Missouri, North Carolina, Wisconsin, all on the tipping line as far as trends go. So some pretty interesting interesting things going on here.
How much corn do you think we have at risk at this time?
Well, you know, last week I sat down and I looked at North Dakota, South Dakota, Minnesota. And I decided this week I really needed to look closer and not only do North Dakota, South Dakota, Minnesota, but Iowa and Illinois, because Iowa has 6% of its corn acres in the poor to very poor, and Illinois actually has 9% in the poor to very poor. So what I came up with, and I used the same scenarios last week. I took the acres times 0.915 for harvest, times the percentage that's in the poor to very poor, times to what their average yield has been. And I came up with 920.1 million bushels at risk, just a hair under a billion bushels. So, you know, what's going on in these next couple of weeks is extremely important to us as far as what's going to happen, you know, when we get to the harvest time.
Yeah, the next few weeks actually extremely important as it relates to something you mentioned earlier as well, the export market. And I guess that turns my attention to China, both for the imports that they might get from the United States and to other places, as well as some of the problems that they've been having with weather.
Oh, my gosh. The flooding over there in central China has just been devastating. You know, just like we've been seeing in so many places in Europe and Germany, Denmark, so many places. It's just very, very sad. And, you know, unfortunately, when you look at China, China's so large and it's so hard to get good information about where everything is and where it's happening. You know, we're probably going to have to wait for a while before we really know the impact that it's going to have. But when you look at the imports, you know, they're still way behind on what they've agreed to buy from the U.S., you know, just in phase one alone. They've imported $11 billion worth of manufactured agriculture energy products from the U.S. in June, according to Bloomberg. But by the end of it had only bought 44.4% of the targeted goods set in the phase one trade pact with the U.S., you know, and that's far and away not where they should be. I mean, they're supposed to be at $400 billion total by the time that we get to the end of December, the beginning of January of next year. And so, you know, that's going to be a big question. That's what everybody's watching. Will they follow through? And you know, do we as a government have enough leverage at this point in time to force them to follow through?
What do we know about Brazil at this point?
Oh, my gosh. It seems like one thing just leads to another down there. You know, this has been just a year of difficulty all the way around. Last week we talked about the municipality of Sinop. This week it's Sorriso in Mato Grosso. You know, they are basically harvesting at this point in time, and they expect to get 76 to 95 bushels to the acre. That could be up to as much as 50% loss compared to last year. Now, we have to keep in mind, last year was a very, very good year for them, but that's still, we know how it feels here in the U.S. when that happens. A lot of farmers who have yields that are 30% or more down are just going to have a terrible time trying to meet their contracts to deliver corn. So, you know, we're preaching to the choir. We've gone through this here, too. When you look at the hog production side over there, they're saying right now that corn in Sorriso is $7.15 a bushel. That's spot corn. That's a record high. But the whole problem is it might be a record high. They're having a terrible time sourcing any corn, and because these farmers can't meet their contracts. So they figure the producers are probably going to have to reduce production and just hope that basically pork prices will go higher and then they can do better things. But they're saying that they believe that, you know, the tight corn supplies are going to keep prices high down in South America or down in Brazil, you know, all the way through 2021. And I believe that's true. And if any of you looked at the picture I put on Twitter, they have increased risks of fire in the mature cornfields in Mato Grosso. The picture on Twitter is of a tractor that burned up in a mature cornfield. And they've been warning for weeks now. You know, they're saying that the fires could be accidental or they could move into corn from a neighboring pasture that's burned off. Even though they've said no burning of pastures, they're still doing it. And so it's quite something. Argentina continues to harvest. Things have been pretty steady, and they just continue to see a lot of unrest because of COVID and all the issues with the port workers. We do have cattle on feed this week, and it looks like we're probably going to be 99% on feed, placements maybe about 94%, and marketing is 102%. So that just is a real statement right there as to what the pasture situation in the West is all about.
Yeah, I made note of that as I was traveling back from Fargo on Sunday of this week. The guys were in the ditches trying to collect hay from wherever they possibly could.
Yep.
Across parts of Minnesota. All right. Hey, thank you.
Thank you, Todd. Have a great day.
You too. That is Jackie Vakes. She is with Total Farm Marketing in Hollister, Missouri. You know, Jackie Vakes mentioned Michael Cordonnier. He's the president of Soybean and Corn Advisor out of Hinsdale, Illinois, and specializes in the South American crops. He says Brazil's second corn crop was hit hard by frost during the final 2 days of June and that first day of July, and that it hasn't been that cold there in decades.
It was the coldest air in 20 years, and it was pretty bad. Depending on where you're at, it either really hurt the corn bad or killed it completely. In fact, I was just watching some farm shows from Brazil on TV, and they showed cornfields in northern Paraná, and they were completely brown, like they're ready for harvest, but it was because they were killed by frost. And the crop was about 5 feet tall, short and stunted because they had a drought. And the ears were short and stubby, and the kernels were like milk stage or early dough stage.
The Cordonnier says the second crop, corn, got planted later than it ever had been and was hurt by the historic drought in south-central Brazil and by that early frost, including another round of frost this past week. Cordonnier says this would be comparable to a midsummer frost for U.S. corn farmers.
For the late planted corn in Brazil, this is equivalent if we here in the United States had 3 nights of frost in mid-July and then 3 nights of more frost first week of August. So it's just devastating for the crop. I have the crop now. at 88 million tons. My number's going to go lower next week for sure because of these recent frost. We just don't know how bad it's going to be yet because they haven't started to harvest the worst field.
His yield estimate ranges from 115 bushels an acre for the best corn fields to zero in the hardest hit areas. Overall, Cordonier says the frost this week only added to the level of disaster for Brazilian farmers.
So this is a catastrophe. You heard coffee, sugarcane, and Safrinha corn. The corn is very bad. Now, this has big implications for the United States. Brazil was supposed to export about 30 to 35 million tons of corn. Now I think they'll be lucky to do 20 million tons, maybe less than that.
Brazil's domestic price for corn is $8.50, which means exporters will pay the penalty to break their contracts and sell that corn on the domestic market for more money. He says Brazil will go from a corn exporter to importing a lot of corn, which means there is an opportunity ahead for U.S. farmers.
They've imported about 1 million tons of corn, and we import a lot more. We're going to be out of corn. There just won't be any corn for the livestock industry. So it's good for U.S. farmers. Keeps our corn exports growing stronger than anticipated because everybody's expecting a bigger and bigger corn crop out of Brazil, which is usually the case, except for this year and maybe next year too. We don't know.
And forecasts are calling for drier weather and delayed summer rains for the upcoming planting season in South America. Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City now joins us to discuss the weather forecast. Hi, Drew. Thank you for being with us. Let's start here in the United States. The forecast, as we go through the bulk of the pollination, a lot of the corn is done, but there's some still to go. Can you tell me about it across the Midwest, please?
Yeah, you know, the next 7 days is going to be fairly dry west of the Mississippi River. I think Minnesota is the only exception to that. There'll be some shower and thunderstorm activity once in a while up that way. But the Dakotas, much of Iowa, Kansas, Missouri, Nebraska, probably not going to see much rain in the next 7 days. And we will see one more period here of fairly warm weather, a lot of 90s. Expected in the Corn Belt proper. Some of the western fringe areas could get up near 100, certainly in Nebraska and some of the central parts of the Dakotas. But I don't expect that kind of heat to occur between the Missouri and Mississippi rivers. There will certainly, though, be a steady rate of drying. And those fields out there that are still running a little light on moisture will really feel the stress over this next 7 days. But the rest of the Corn Belt is going to be doing just fine. We have a little bit of a warm-up coming up. These crops are going to eat that up. Boy, they need a few heat units. And with the moisture that we've had in recent weeks, the crop is going to, you know, it's going to be one of those situations you go out there and stand and listen to the corn pop as it grows, right? So although I know we're doing their pollination, and it's not necessarily the case anymore, so never mind. But anyway, you get the point that the crops are going to do really well. That's the bottom line to this. And after this first week, it looks like as we go into August, we will start to shift the ridge of high pressure back to the west again. Obviously, an opportunity here for some more moisture to occur in some of these areas that are drying down in this first week. And more importantly than anything is it's going to stop the warm temperatures from getting any hotter, and we'll have a pretty good environment. It might actually turn a little coolish, a little too cool maybe later in August across the central and especially the eastern part of the Corn Belt. So that's something we'll look forward to down the road. But I think as long as the ridge heads out to the west, there's not going to be a lot of reason to be anticipating huge problems with the exception of the western Corn Belt, which will still see less than normal rains.
Is there a subsoil moisture issue at this point, do you think?
You know, the subsoil moisture looks really good to me in at least the eastern two-thirds of the Corn Belt. There's some areas in the west that still have some patches of good subsoil moisture, but the farther northwest you go, obviously, the more limited that becomes. But there's plenty of subsoil moisture around, and as you know, as long as we've got adequate subsoil moisture, if the topsoil dries down, we can probably go another couple of weeks with normal temperatures while the topsoil becomes diminished of moisture. So we've got at least a cushion here of probably 3 weeks without the bulk of the Corn Belt going too dry. Now, those north northwestern and west central areas, that's a different story. They're going to need some time and rain in order to keep the stress levels from getting too high as we go into the second week of August.
And turn your attention to China. Tell me about the flooding there. It's record-breaking, apparently.
Oh, my gosh. In the last 24 hours, one location in central China in the province of Henan reported 30.71 inches of rain. That's a 24-hour rain total. And according to the BBC, about half of that rain fell over an hour's time, which I find phenomenal. I can't even fathom how that would occur. But this particular area in China has been deluged with rain fairly frequently over the last few weeks. And this last 5 days, that same location's had 40 inches of rain. And surrounding it, we're seeing amounts that run from maybe about 8 to around 16 inches. The flooding in Henan is significant. Henan is probably as important to China as Iowa is to the U.S. It's one of the most important production areas in the country. And my guess is the flooding has to be pretty serious in at least a portion of that province, to say the least. So I think there's probably going to be a little bit of crop damage. Now, when we compare this year to last year, if you can recall, last year, China got just torrents of rain over the whole country. It started in the south early in the year and worked its way northward, and everybody was involved at one time or another. The damage that occurred last year was probably more severe than what we've seen so far this year. But I do have to at least put a little statement on that, pointing out the fact that last year the worst of the flooding was more in southern China, which is rice country, and that the impact in some of these corn and soybean areas wasn't probably as big of a deal. But this one province, Henan, that I'm talking about, I think is a very, very important province, and they've got to stop the rains. It may already be too late. Some of the flooding should be pretty serious there. But I would say maybe 20% of Henan has probably got a notable amount of flood water on the fields right now.
Wow, 30 inches of rainfall in a 24-hour period, just for comparison's sake. To this point in the year, from January 1 till now, a normal rainfall in Champaign County, where I am, should be about 24 inches, and we're above normal at around 27 at this point, but that's over months, not over
that's
a few
right.
hours.
Oh, absolutely phenomenal. Smokes. I mean, this year around the world has just been just absolutely amazing. I've only seen a couple other times where there's been 30 inches reported over a 24-hour period. And I think one was last year in southern China. I think they did the same thing down there. But the only other time was in Mumbai, India, years ago, probably 20 years ago maybe. They had like 36 inches overnight. But that's a coastal location and a place that gets heavy rain more often than some of these other areas. So just amazing.
Wow. Hey, thank you for keeping us up to date on China, and certainly for everything you do for us here as it's related to crops in North and South America. We appreciate it.
You bet. Have a good day.
You too. Drew Lerner is with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Joined us here on the Closing Market Report.